praise you, Lord God. Are you ready for the word? I'm like, I had another announcement to make. I think that's sufficient. Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalms. Psalm 24. We've been starting out here with this series lately. Psalm 24, let's just start at verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Now, when you read about the hill of the Lord, the holy place, that's talking about standing in the tangible, manifest presence of God. Who's going to stand with God's presence upon them, surrounding them, inundating them? Scripture talks about if we dwell with Him, He dwells with us, right? You can actually abide in the presence of God. So here, David's asking, who's going to be this person that will stand in His presence? Who's the one that's able to stand in the holy place? Now, we don't understand, in David's day, hardly anybody could, because they couldn't be born again. They couldn't be made righteous. But we, through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, have the right to stand in the presence of God. I'm not talking about just a mental acknowledgement. Yes, the Word says I have access to the throne, so I'm speaking before God and I know that He hears me. That's a good thing, to have faith to know that God hears you, right? We know through Jesus, whether we feel it or not, He hears our prayers. And a lot of people, when you talk about going before God, that's the height of revelation they have, as they know they can have their prayers answered whether they feel God or not. But we have a right to stand in His actual, tangible, glorious presence, which is a higher level of revelation. Know that your prayers are answered, which really takes a higher level of faith. When His presence is upon you, it's easy to know He wants to answer your prayers. But when you don't feel it, it's when you need to have faith to know He's answering anyway. But we have the right to stand in His presence. Amen? Who will do that? Well, it goes on and He says, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his heart to vanity, right? Or his soul to vanity. Nor sworn deceitfully. Now, we've talked about it. A pure heart's received when you're born again. I need to hit the timer. We all fallen down lately. You get a pure heart when you're born again. But clean hands are the result of actually following through and doing the Word of God, right? Really following and obeying what He directs you to do. Getting the sin out of your life and being obedient to His directives for your life. Who's not lifted up his soul to vanity. Now, we talked about this before. I don't want to spend much time on it. But when you lift up your soul to vanity, you say, I know of myself more than God. Or I know it's better for my life than what God's saying I should be doing in my life. You know, I hear these things all the time. Well, I just have needs. Well, I guess God didn't know that when He created man in His own image. God understands everything about you. He knows what's best for you. He knows what will prosper you, what will bless you, which will cause you to enter into eternal life more than you know of yourself. And He wants to bring us into that revelation, right? But we have to do it. He goes on and he says, He. Who's the He? The one that's doing it. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation. Now, generation, when you read the word generation, it's talking about a group of people during a specific period of time. When you think of generations, you think of, hey, this segment of the population, right? In other words, every decade they come out with a new generation. Y generation, millennials, what's the newest one? Is it still millennials? Huh? Z? That's for because they've watched those zombie shows. It's the last one, right? We name these generations. Well, here, God says there's a generation that is going to seek Him. I believe we're it. I believe you're part of a last day move of God. If you will enter into it, if you will volunteer for it, say, God, I sow my life into your move. I will seek you for the rest of my days. God saying, welcome to the Jesus generation. Welcome to the glory generation, right? In fact, we ought to rename ourselves the glory generation. I want to be in that generation. That seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Who are the gates? We are. Lift up your head. Be lift up, you everlasting doors. We're the doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Now, I feel like I want to camp out here just for a few minutes this morning. If you don't get any revelation this morning or out of this series, please get this revelation. You are God's gateways of glory. You were never called just to survive life, just to do your thing and go on, you know, into forever. You were called to be a gateway for God to move into, to influence this world, and to take it into the glory. The love of God is supposed to flow through us. The glory of God is supposed to manifest through us. And the blessings of God are supposed to come upon us that everybody can say, surely God has blessed them. In Romans, Paul talks about a generation, about a group of people that will rise up, that will move the Jews to envy. You familiar with this? That will cause Israel to envy. Well, listen, just because you walk around saying, bless the Lord, praise you, Jesus, they're not envying that. Something needs to come on your life that they go, surely God has blessed them. They recognize, read the Old Testament, they recognize the blessing on Abraham. They recognize the blessing on Isaac. Laban recognized the blessing on Jacob. The Pharaoh recognized the blessing on Joseph. Each time they said, surely God is with him. Well, those are Old Testament characters. How much more does God want to raise up a generation to seek Him that people will say, surely God has blessed them. God wants you to do more than survive. He wants you to be a gateway, a window people can see the glory of God through and the blessing of God through. So be lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory, this King of glory? Jesus, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. God says this twice. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be ye lift, even lift them up, you everlasting doors. He wants us to know God has plans to move through us. And I want to throw this out. When it says, lift up your heads. Be lift up. It was not meant to be voluntary. That's a commandment. God's commandment for His end time church is to be lift up. Is to be a gateway. His commandment for His end time church is to get your head out of the world and into the kingdom. Let me say that again. To get your head out of the world and connection to the world system and get it focused on the kingdom and the kingdom system. Do you follow me on that? So now we go to our drawing. We've left it up here because I'm going to go through it very quickly. We've talked about how God wants to bless us out of the third heaven. He wants us to manifest these blessings in the first heaven. However, there are a set of windows or doors or gates that exist within the second heaven, really within our thinking, that if these gates aren't opened up, they block the blessing from being able to manifest in our life. So we mentioned a group of these gates. We could put 50 of them up here that influence your ability to receive. But we put 8 predominant ones up to match the 8 areas you think on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And we said, if you want the blessing to flow into your life, you need to be saved. You need to tithe. You need to be a seed sower. You need to build and intentionally use your faith. Because faith is a valve that lets the blessing of God flow into your life. You need to have the right confession. Not talking about confessing your sin, but confessing the Word. You're speaking the Word. You're saying the same thing that the Word is declaring. Right? You're healed and you're prosperous. You need to live in holiness. You can't live in knowledgeable, open, willing sin and believe that the blessing of God is going to flow into your life. Right? You don't have the clean hands. And forgiveness. Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, or if you don't forgive those that have transgressed against you, your Father in heaven can't forgive you. That is a definite blessing blocker. How many Christians do I meet that will say, I love God, but I just can't forgive those people? Well, the Word said, no man. I believe the Word. How about you? I believe the Word more than I believe what I think. And then the eighth doorway we put up. The eighth doorway is the church, which includes divine order and even covenant. How much will you connect to the body of Christ? Because see, if you're not connected, the anointing flows from the head down. If you're not connected to a church, you cut the anointing off. And you're going to shut down the blessing in your life to a great level. Not belonging to a church. Not even connecting to a body in covenant where you're letting God use you. Becomes a major pathway for the blessing if you'll do that. Amen? So we found out, before you were saved, before you had your mind renewed by the Word, these were all shut gates. In fact, they became the gates of hell. But by the Word, we access the keys of the kingdom. Remember this? And love flows out of us. Now I want to redraw this real quick. In fact, we're going to do it in shortened fashion. Set to. You've seen this enough time, you've probably about memorized it, right? Right here, we'll call that our other windows. You follow me? Now let me just write down here, windows. Here we have God's blessings. Flowing in. We have Word. Flowing up. We have manifested blessings. Coming out of us, we're acting as the gateways of heaven. Turn to 2 Peter, chapter 1. This is not really our full message this morning, but I want to throw it in. Second Peter chapter 1. Let me write this. Remember, one of our gates is faith. Verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Adding to virtue, knowledge. Adding to knowledge, temperance, patience, temperance. Adding to temperance, patience. Oops. Godliness, spend enough time reading these things, you remember them. Brotherly kindness. That's really Philadelphia. Erase that, get that out of the way. And adding to brotherly kindness, love. Remember before we said the word goes in, love comes out? Well, there's a set of doors, or we call it the stairway to agape in here, right? Steps you take that you develop in your life to produce the love. So while God is developing all of these steps of salvation, tithing, all these actions in your life, do you follow me? Because each of these involves an action for the most part. Salvation, you confess Jesus, right? Tithing is an action. Sowing seed, an action. Faith intends to develop is an action. Confession, an action. Each one involved doing something. Even holiness is an action. At the same time you're developing revelation and applying these, God internally is developing these. See, it's not enough that you should just mechanically do things for God. Because a lot of people want to make it a formula. Well, I tithe, I go to church, I sow seed, I live above sin. But yet they've shut down the doorways internally, let God change who they really are. Pastor Jim posted something on Facebook this morning that I've been declaring in here for a couple years now, is to study your motivations. Why are you doing what you do? What's your inner motivation? God's trying to get, see, these all involve internals. God's developing internal change in you so that love can flow out of you. And you got to be willing for God to get personal within you, not just make it a formula, because we can make these somewhat formulaic. But these you can't. These are letting God get personal inside of you and change how and why you tick. There used to be things in my life that would irritate me. Anybody ever been irritated? We'd even call them pet peeves. What is a peeve and why do you want to make a pet out of it? Amen. Why do you want to carry the thing around on a leash? Come on, peeve, come on. And we say, well, I just don't like that. Well, then I came to a point, God says, why don't you like that? What in you has a problem with that situation? What in you is that the enemy is able to manipulate circumstances to irritate you? See, when we were kids, I know you did it as well. We'd go, gotcha. Got you last. No comebacks, right? And we'd you'd go, ugh! Does anybody remember this? Why would you let anything ever be a point that somebody could set you off? Why would there be anything you would allow inside of you to be a point of irritation that external circumstances could manipulate? See, anything in you that you've not let God adjust that's an irritation. See, I can see you got quiet now. Because everybody's got their things that they know are there. And it takes effort, it takes faith, it takes determination to neutralize these things. Because the enemy set them up as push buttons in your life. And they set you off. Remember we called them minefields of the soul? Somebody steps on the right trigger and you go off. Get upset, depressed, angry. And to go into the full love of God, you got to be willing for God to show you those triggers and say, I refuse for anything external to influence me internally. Nothing externally should be able to influence you internally. This is getting pretty deep, isn't it? This is getting kind of personal. This is getting kind of touchy. But see, God's got to take touchy out of us. If we want to flow in this full glory of God, can you see Jesus? Well, you guys, you know I don't like that. Why would we let anything that anybody can do, or let anything that can take place, trigger negative responses in our life? Do you follow me? Not talking about just actions, but how you feel. Why do you want to carry on the weight of all that frustration? I didn't mean to be going here this morning, but we've got to follow the flow as the Spirit of God opens things up. You follow me? And so God wants to go inside of you. He wants you to get with Him personally and examine what is it that's controlling your day in a negative fashion. And adjust it. What's He doing? There are windows horizontally to the blessing. There are windows vertically to love. And because it's vertical, that's why we call them stair steps. We're climbing our way as God changes us to agape. Now, here's the neat thing. You don't have to get all of this perfect. You don't have to do all of this perfect to have God to bless you. Now, salvation is an opener. It's a shut, open or shut that gate. You follow me? But we could label, if I need to write these up here. Thought I could get away with it. Salvation, right? I'll just write saved. Tithe. Seed. Faith. Confession. What's next? Not after faith. What's after faith? Oh, you got a different list. We've wrote them different fashions. Confession, or what'd you say? Forgiveness? We'll go with your list. It's the official list. Next. Confession. I could just put speech there. Holiness. And church. Have you found yourself, as you're seeing these things, you do a personal check to say, how do I line up? That's what you're supposed to do. That means you really want to change. That means you really want God to show you things, right? You're not just trying to pass. You're trying to say, if there's not anything that's not lined up, show it to me, Lord God, right? And He will. So what I want to show you is some of these are open and shut gates. For example, try and think of the right example. Some valves are just open or shut. Kind of think of even electronics. But like some valves, they are electronically run, and when it power's on, the valve's open. When it's off, it's shut, or vice versa. And so it's either on or off. Salvation is either an on or off valve. Either you're saved or you're not. How about tithing? Are there levels of tithe? No, there's no level of tithe. 10% is 10%. 9% is not tithing. 5% is not tithing. That's open or shut door. Seed, though. How about seed? Seed's variable. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man as he purposes in his own heart, let him give. So seed is something you can vary. So listen, if you want to be a medium sower, you can reap medium harvest. If you want to be a large sower, you can reap a large harvest. What I'm getting at is these windows are somewhat variable in operation. You don't have to have everything perfect for God to bless you, because the enemy comes along and says, oh, you haven't done that perfect. Not all of them have to be done perfect. Do you follow me? Oh, I haven't sown. I haven't sown at the highest levels. Well, what have you sown? God will bless what you've sown. Some of them are yes or no. How about this one? Are there any others up here that you would say were open or shut? Forgiveness. That's exactly it. Forgiveness. Either you're forgiving or you're not. I understand there's a process where you're working to forgive and you keep confessing it and you're trying to let it go and even stuff will rise back up. But you determine you're going to forgive. You follow me? However, the rest of these, I'm drawing this to mean variable. The rest of these are all variable. Now listen, I believe you decide to live in knowledgeable, open sin, you shut that gate. But there's a level of holiness you can walk in. You follow me? That everything's perfect or it's not. And the blessing of God flows into your life whether it's all perfect or it isn't. Here's the point I wanted to make. The enemy comes along and says, you've not been living perfectly. See all those eight gates? You've only been doing three of them perfectly. You know, the three mandatory ones. The others, you haven't done. You haven't lived fully holy. Remember, you missed some church services. Remember, you know, you haven't worked the Word like you could have worked the Word. You took a nap one day. You missed a day of, you know, reading your 10 Psalms and a proverb or whatever in five chapters. And they'll say, you haven't done it perfectly. God can't bless you. Yes, He can. God will still bless you. Your prayers can still be answered. You follow me? In fact, in the parable of the sower, we covered it Thursday night in the parable of the sower, talking about the good soul. It says, and some bring forth a harvest, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What does that mean? It means there are levels of harvest. It means you don't have to do it perfect. Now, I believe to do 100-fold, you got to be really in it all the way, and you're doing what you can to let God change you in totality. But there are 30 and 60 folders. God, in fact, God says He'll even bless the wicked. He supplies for the wicked to some level. But I don't want just supply, I want overflow. I want protection, health, relationships restored. I want God's power and promises manifest in every area of my life. So the point is, it's not enough just to make these a mechanical step you take. Also understand He's got to change the inside to get the love out. And what is really interesting is Galatians says, because remember, adding to your faith virtue? Right? And it says in Galatians that faith worketh by love. Right in the center of this process, if you don't let God change the internals to get you into the love of God, all of a sudden, now it acts to shut down this gate. I hope I'm not going too fast and getting too deep, that I'm losing you. But see, how many want God's blessings in your life? Tim, you could draw an electronic circuit for this. All these and/or gates. If we don't develop this as well, God's put a switch in here. If we don't love, He shuts down this one. And if He shuts down this one, nothing flows that way. So that determines that this is now dependent upon this as well. Love, we could say, is a window, but really love is a counter switch to keep everything else operating. Because this requires hearing God, at least hearing the Word. This requires knowing God. You cannot develop the steps to agape without really knowing God and having a relationship with Him. That He can show you what you need to develop. What are the areas you're tripping on? He so desires to get the glory through you. He'll show you. And of course, as we talked about before, love, once tangibly manifested, is the glory. And I'm after the glory. Now, we started this process several months ago talking about what it takes to be a revivalist Christian. Remember this? Remember the teaching? Right in the middle of it, we went off on this. We've been on this ever since now for about, 6 weeks or so. that if you want to be a revivalist, you truly want to be somebody that God can use in the end times, you really want to be in God's perfect plan in the flow of His kingdom, it requires that you let God address every area of your life as portrayed in this drawing. You can't pick and choose. You say, well, I just want God's blessing on my life. It's a whole package. This is the whole thing. And God wants to get down inside of you and have you actually think, speak, and act like Jesus. Remember on the mount, He was glorified? Right? After 6 days, He was glorified. Well, we're now at 6 days, prophetically 6,000 years since creation. God wants to glorify His church. But He's got to get them walking in the image and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Anybody want to go? Is it getting too hard? Am I scaring anybody off? Is it getting too hard? We're trying to show that this is not just some little game we play to go to church. This is an all-in lifestyle that God wants to draw you into. And each of us have a determination to make, a decision to make. I recently made a decision, actually back in January, first of the year, to quit eating sugar. I've mentioned it before. Not that I'm totally avoiding it. It's in ketchup, it's in everything, but I'm not eating desserts, I'm not drinking soft drinks. I've not had a Frank's donut this year. Amen? No soft drinks. And listen, I hate artificial sweeteners, so no sweeteners, period. So no desserts, no soft drinks. Everything I'm drinking is sugar-free. But as I said at the beginning of service, I went into this, I forgot to mention the fast again. Remind me at the end of service to mention the fast. I don't want to scare you right now. Went into this fast, and it's the first one I can remember forever. I didn't go into it without a headache or some nausea or something the first few days. But see, there's no sugar in my body, no caffeine. Nothing to withdraw from. I stepped into a fast, liquid only, and mostly water. And I'm symptom-free. Fought a little bit of hunger, like, oh, I could eat something. But really, that was a bit minimized. Sugar produces withdrawals. So is caffeine. Of course, you know that one, right? So, when I went into this one, I said, God, I've gone off sugar before. I've gone off sugar for 6 months before, you know, and I went back on and I lost the weight and I gained the weight back. And this time, I'm not making a commitment. I'm not declaring you this is what I'm going to do. I'm telling you it's my decision that what I want to do, to never go back on sugar again. It's a powerful drug, very addictive drug. And I don't ever to have it in my body again. Do you follow me? Now, I've had to sit down and make what I call a quality decision, because I've done this before, but I've never made it as a quality decision, to look at the rest of my life, all 57 years of the rest of my life. Hey, a man shall live six score, right? I got 57 years to go to 120. To look at that and say, am I willing to live the rest of my life without a Frank's Donuts or ice cream? Now, Patty be going like chocolate. Chocolate I can take or leave. But if I was eating sugar, I'd eat one chocolate. I'd eat the whole box. I'm just, hey, sugar! To determine, am I willing to live the rest of my life without sugar? And I said, yes, I am. That to get my weight where I want it, to get that drug out of my body, to have everything functioning better, I want rid of the sugar. Not that I had any problems, but I was getting too fat. Amen. So, I'm down 23 pounds as of this morning. I'm willing to live like this for the rest of my life. There'll be ice cream in heaven. I can eat it then. I'm willing to sow my life dietarily for better health. Do you follow me? But there's a spiritual aspect of it. better health means more anointing. Can I stay on this track just for a minute? Years ago, Jerry Savile, probably been 20 years ago, I heard him say it. He asked God for more anointing on his life. And the Lord says, Jerry, I can't give you any more anointing. You're too out of shape. If I give you any more anointing, it may kill you. He says, half the anointing I'm giving you now, I'm putting on you now, is just keeping you alive or keeping you healthy enough. He said, you want more anointing? Get in shape. Well, that's part of the reason I'm doing this. I want more anointing. And I don't want half my anointing just using to keep me alive. Amen. So I've made a decision to sow the rest of my life without any more desserts. Now, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you this is what God showed me. Now, I want to take this over to our church life. I've also had to sit down. Now, I did this probably 30 years ago. I've had to sit down and God say, are you willing to live for my kingdom? He said, if you'll live for me, I'll let you pioneer the river of God in the end times. And before I answered, the devil says, it'll cost you your health. You'll die young. You'll lose your family, your wife. You'll die in poverty. And all these things, the devil just threw at me. And I didn't know what I know. I didn't know then what I know now. But at the time, I said, you stupid devil, I know that's not God. I believe God's able to prosper me, protect my marriage, my children, and my health, and my finances. God, I'll do it. And I made a decision to sow my life for God. That nothing else mattered above being in God's will. And you can do what you want to with my life. Send me where you want to send me. You can change in me what you want to change. I sow my life into you. I believe that's the price of revival. And you've got to be willing to sit down honestly before God, look inside and say, God, am I willing to give you the rest of my life? Because your revival is not it's not some little sidewalk drug deal, you know. It's your life. And God's looking for, because see, it may cost you some vacations. It may cost you some nice things. How much of Patty and I had to sow, had to give up for years? Now, I've been, 24 years in full-time ministry. 24 years, and we still don't make but a fraction of what I made before I went into ministry. So we've given up new cars, house, you know, all these things that had I kept it, but see, I said, God, I sow that to you. You may have to sacrifice some things to go all in for God. At least you got to be willing to trust God, whatever you sow, He's going to bring back into your life. Because He said He would, right? In fact, Jesus said this, He says, he that holds to his life will lose it. But he that will give his life for the kingdom of God will gain it plus eternal life, right? In other words, if you try just to hold to what you want to do and your plans for life and your retirement plans and your vacation plans, your travel around plans, and God can't get to that because that's your plans, he says you'll lose all that. Remember the rich man in Luke 12? We covered it Thursday night. Who became wealthy, is what I'll do with my goods. I'll store them up in new barns and eat, drink, and be merry. God says, you fool, this night your soul be required of you. You look, but if you will sow your life to God, God says, I'll bring it back to you in a fashion you couldn't imagine. Now, I've lost. I didn't mean this to be about me this morning, but I just got to test. If I use you, you may get mad at me. If I use my wife, I could be in jeopardy of life. We didn't have all the nice things. I've had to fix old cars. I mean, I put entire new set of brake lines on my truck last week because the brake lines rusted out. They corroded out. I've had to keep things patched up and going. But yet, I've got to see sick people healed. people in pain, pain delivered from the pain, people hooked on drugs, delivered, people with terminal illnesses, healed, and I've got to raise the dead. Now, what's more important, a new car or to see the miracle power of God on your life? Well, see, until you've seen the miracle power, you might think, well, I don't know right now. Let me restate that. The answer is easy, right? Oh, much better to have the anointing. But to make the decision, God wants you to make the decision. He always wants you to make the first step. He says, you make the decision to sow your life to me, and I'll bring you the results later. We want results now. Okay, now I'll decide, God. It's not faith. So God wants to make us gates, but he says, I need you to trust me with your life to do this. Will you sow your life to me? Sow my life. Yeah, he sent his son who sowed his life for you. Now he wants you to be dead to self, but alive in Christ, and sow your life to him. And trust him with it. Whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to change, adjust, manifest, you're willing. Is anybody willing? Because so many Christians are willing to a point, well, I'll go this far, but I'm not going to get fanatical. If you're not willing to get fanatical, God will not use you to any high level. I'm not talking about acting stupid or crazy. Although sometimes God uses people who do that. I'm talking about fanatical as far as if God says give it, you give it. If he says go to church, you go to church. If he says stay with that spouse you want to slap, love him instead, you do it. Not that that ever happened to me. I've done a lot of counseling. Plus, I've got evidence on her now. She plucked the lint off my... What does God want you to do? Are you willing to sow vacations? Do you know how many vacations we have sown? We used to take our vacations and go to Kenneth Copeland conventions. How many vacations we had to give up on? I've now been to Hawaii 5 times. All of them connected to ministry or something came out of ministry. God's blessed me, you follow me? But I couldn't pay for it myself at the times. How much? How did I even get over here? We're not to really my first verse today that I wanted to go to. Amen. It's in Proverbs. How much are we willing to let God get personal with us? How much are we willing to say, God, my life belongs to you? Because I'm telling you right now, if you want to go to full revival, you got to be willing to sit in a chair and say, God, whatever you want to do, I sow it to you. My life is yours from here on. And if you can't do that, it's going to limit how much God can take you into that glory. Everybody still love me? But if you do and say, God, if you tell me to sow it, you tell me to believe for it, you tell me to forgive it, you tell me whatever, I'm going to do it. Get ready for a move of God in your life. Amen. Well, let's go to another verse. Let's at least get to my first verse today. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Lift up you heads, O you gates, right? Again, if you get nothing out of this teaching, keep in mind you're a gate. You're not a gate. You are the gate. You're responsible for the areas you live in to manifest and demonstrate His glory. You're the gateway for that. If you don't open up your gates, there could be people don't get touched by the power of God. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's go to verse number 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones? Now, simple ones talking about somebody that's ignorant, without knowledge, somebody that's not accessing the wisdom of God. They don't know some things, right? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? In other words, how long will you be satisfied in your ignorance? How long will you be satisfied, if we can put it in our terms, just caught up in the world system, doing worldly things, worldly plans? How long will you love that? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God here says, wisdom crieth at the opening of the gates. Now, we understand that Scripture says wisdom is the principal thing, right? Get wisdom. But really, wisdom is the knowing by the Spirit of God what you're to do at any point in time. Wisdom is really the leading of the Spirit of God in your life. We thought wisdom was because you knew some things. No, that's knowledge. Or you comprehended some things. That's understanding. But wisdom is knowing what to do at any time, and we're to be Spirit-led. For the believer, wisdom is to be led of the Spirit and knowing what God have you do at any point in time. Do you follow me? And wisdom crieth at the opening of the gates. And I'm calling all of these gates. You're the overall gate, but there's gates within you, we've already discovered, right? Windows and doors. So wisdom is crying at these gates, saying, how long will you love your ignorance? How long will you be satisfied in not comprehending God's plan for your life? How long will you be caught up in just being satisfied with going through the motions of life? See, how many thousands of people have each of us known in life? How many thousands? Thousands, right? All of us. How many of those thousands do you know did not just go through the motions of life? I would venture to say for me, 99% went through the motions. They're born, they go to school, they get a job, they save some money, they retire, and they die. And all through that life, they may have acknowledged God some, they may have even went to church, but it was their life. They controlled it. They ran, you know, they steered the boat, they held the reins, they had their own plans, they did, with hoping God would intervene or interact some of it. But as far as people I know that have sown their life into the kingdom, I've known very few. I know a lot now because of the churches we're in. But before I knew Jesus, or even early on, I knew very few people that really lived for God, sold out whatever He wanted them to do, that were pursuing knowing the principles of the kingdom and the truths of the kingdom above their traditional church training. Did you follow that? But God's raising up a generation that'll say, I want to know more than I know now. I want to be free from the traditions that have held me down in the past. If your word says that I want it, the word says I can do greater works. God, I want the greater works. It says I can heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes. I want it. And you're saying, whatever, God, I've got to learn, to know, to leave behind, show me how to move into your perfect will. Now, how many people have you known in the past had that attitude before you got in a revival? I don't know if I knew any. All those people, many may have made it to heaven, but none really sowed their life at the level God would desire a life sown. He wants to possess your days. Not possess you as in a spirit possessing you, but to be able to guide you into the glory. And wisdom, the Spirit of God, is there at the gates. It says at the opening of the gates. Releasing wisdom. Now, Listen to what I'm about to say. When the Spirit of God, wisdom is at the opening of the gates, I believe what it's there doing is saying, there's blockages in these gates. Fix this to get that gateway open. Do you follow me? I mean, think about your life where the Spirit of God showed up and said something. First, the Spirit of God showed up and said, you need to get saved. Nobody gets saved by the Spirit of God drawing them, right? The Holy Spirit drew you to salvation. Then what happened? May not be in this order, but then it says, and you need to tithe. There's a closed gate. What's happening? At the opening of that gate, there's the Spirit of God. And you need to sow seed, and you need to believe, and you need to forgive, and you need to speak the word. You need to go to church. God spoke to me about all of these. I would go to I didn't just go to the convenient church. I went to the church seeking God. God, is this the church you'd have me at? Did you do that? Obviously, because you're here. God, I don't want to just go to a convenient church. I just want to go to a church that necessarily, you know, seems like a nice, happy family. I want to go to a church that you have assigned me to go to grow. What's happening? There's the Spirit of God, wisdom, at that opening of the gate to try to get you to the place you can get it opened. Where else is the Spirit of God camping out? Telling you need to develop integrity and virtue. You need to build your knowledge, right? You need to grow in patience all the way through these. The Spirit of God's at the opening of those gates saying, fix that. As I've said many times, many Christians will say, well, we just can't hear God anymore. I've heard Christian spokesmen say, it's impossible for a modern-day Christian to hear the voice of God. What? Then I've been hearing the wrong thing for 33 years. But what I've discovered in those years, all of those, every one of the 33 years, when I get into Word, when I get into prayer, God speaks to me more about what I have to fix, what I have to build, than how wonderful I am. Now, He'll build me up. I'm hoping to build you up to some this morning. You're a gate. He'll build me up. He'll show me vision. He'll give me, you know, draw me into these things. But most of it's about, what are you going to do internally with what you're feeling right now? What are you going to do with these situations you're facing right now? How are you going to progress ahead from where you're at? What's He doing? He's at the opening of a gate. He's trying to get me into the glory. And all of these work together to bring us into that glory. Look at Philippians. We went here, I believe, a few weeks ago. Let's go again. Philippians chapter 3. Paul said in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I want that resurrection power all my life. Excuse me. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Now listen, I don't believe God wants us to suffer. We go into the fellowship, the koinonia, that He suffered to bring us into. But if we are to suffer for Jesus, I believe it's in this fashion. Understand, when He suffered at the cross, that wasn't His life. That was His seed. I can see that I need to explain that. This is Janus, one of her favorite messages I've taught in the past. But everything Jesus suffered at the cross was a payment. Or a substitutionary work to deliver us from suffering something. He died so we could have life, right? He was stripped so we could be wealthy. His beard was plucked to deliver us from shame. He took the stripes to deliver us from disease. So everything He suffered at the cross was to deliver us from some form of the curse. So you can't look at the sufferings of Jesus at the cross and say, I've got to suffer similarly. I don't believe that because he paid it so we don't have to. So what did he suffer? I believe the sufferings of Jesus are where he laid down his life's path on behalf of God's all. Remember in the garden? He said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I believe he lived his life like that. I believe he lived his life like that where he said, God, whatever you call me to do, Father, whatever you want me to do, I only do what the Father calls me to do. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. He lived his life sown to the Father, even to the point he went to the cross. You don't have to go to a cross. You don't have to go to martyrdom. I believe we have a promise of God. We don't have to be martyred. We don't have time to teach on that this morning. But we do have to suffer to the point where God, not my will, but yours be done. Did you follow that? Being made conformable unto his death. Death to self. Death to the flesh. Not that we die to some form of crucifixion. If I by any means might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Now listen, Paul obviously, when he's talking about the resurrection of the dead and being conformable to death, he's not talking about resurrection as far as he's dead and he's raised from the dead. It'd be obvious he hadn't attained to that yet. He's talking about full manifestation or confirmation to the image of Christ in his life. I fully die to self that Christ may live in me. I need to move on or we're going to get caught up in this. Brethren, verse 12 still. But I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ. Now here it says he's chasing after what God's chasing after him for. He said, I'm chasing after God, but it started with God chasing after me. God's chasing you. Will you volunteer to let him catch you? Do you see that? Not as though I'd already attained. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. He says, I'm forgetting my past, both successes and failures. In other words, if I get caught up in my successes, I'll get caught up in pride. If I let my failures dominate my thinking, I'll lose my hope. So today I start over with a fresh beginning to keep chasing after God daily, freshly. I'm apprehending him for that which he's attempting to apprehend me, right? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the mark of the high calling or prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus? What is that? That and those. The high calling of God is love. His full manifested blessings. And the ultimate high calling of God is to move into his glory. I'm pressing toward that. Well, see, you can't press toward the glory and hold the world in the other hand. I'm also pressing toward these plans in my life and these things I want to do, and you leave God out of it. Or you just want him to tag along in your plans. We're to find out what God's plans are and go after those. And remember, we talked about wisdom crieth at the gates, right? That's where I'm going. Wisdom crieth at the gates to get you to open those gates, to make changes so they can be opened. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore as many be perfect, meaning mature, in other words, you're growing up in this, be thus mind. In other words, as many as want to go after God with everything they have, As many as want to be hundredfolders, they want to have the full will of God manifest in their lives. He says, many of that, watch this, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What that says is, those that want to press, if there's anything blocking your way, God will show it to you. If there's any area of your life you've not fully turned over to God, He will show it to you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is wisdom crying at the gates, at the opening of the gates. God is going to cry at these gateways. Watch what God speaks to you in your life. It will deal with some form of gate. He's crying at these gateway openings to get you to make changes, to get that doorway open to let the blessing and the love flow through your life. So lift up your heads, O you gates, or your eyes, O you gates. Lift up your heads, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I want this. I want these things wide open, that these things are maximized. So Thursday night, we've been talking about, at least we were for a week or two, about the thorny soil. It says the thorns rise up, and it says it's talking about a harvest that started to produce fruit, but the thorns rise up and choke out the word that becomes unfruitful. And it says these are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. See, if those are rising in my life, I want to know it. And God will show it to you. He's crying at the gate saying, get those things taken care of. We're called to bring the glory to earth. But God can only bring that through fully volunteered vessels. Amen. Go Vols. I couldn't miss that opportunity. The anointing was like, shoo. But Jane is back are like, yes, Jesus. Her and Tim are like caught up right now. Have you got anything out of this? I keep thinking this is going to be the last week and the things expand.